Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Ticket pandemonium. Welcome in the beginning of another edition of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere together as we are not a moment too soon. This is when the show starts. Coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and massively powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the nest as we hang out with night owls, our people, inside the Fox Sports Radio studios somewhere deep in the North Woods. And so the lead this hour coming from football, but really the ticket booth, as we are into the Final Four. It's Final Four weekend, Final Four Sunday in the NFL. We know the matchups, the Bengals and Kansas City for the right to go to the Super Bowl representing the AFC. And in the NFC, it's the Rams and 49ers. If you're a gambler, you probably already know what the point spreads are. But Kansas City getting a lot of love against Cincinnati. The Bengals not getting a lot of the attention of the gamblers. The Chiefs opened up a 6.5-point favorite, and they are currently as high as 7.5, depending on which sports book you look at. And the LA Rams, that game's gone the other way. The Rams, a 4-point favorite. The casual fan who doesn't really understand football thinks that the Niners are going to pull another upset, so they're betting on the Niners, which is good news for the Rams and the Bengals, by the way. Rams now anywhere from 3.5 to a 3-point favorite in that game. But the focus of this part of the hour is dedicated to that Ram 49er game, but not really the game. It's all about the subplot, the Niner fans planning to hijack SoFi Stadium for the NFC title game. I don't know if you've been following this story. Maybe it's not on your sonar, but the Rams over the weekend after they beat the Buccaneers, they banned ticket sales to the NFC title game for people that live outside of the greater Los Angeles area. So meaning if you are in Northern California, sorry, you're out of luck. They were attempting to cut the Bay Area 49er fan off at the pass. Now, it turns out that didn't last long. There was a lot of faux outrage from fans and former players and media people, and they opened that back up to everyone, kind of. Kind of. This is where the story goes off the track. So the Rams announced that the tickets to Sunday's NFC Championship game were all sold to season ticket holders. And the policy that they put in place was no longer available. Now, some people have said that's not, there's no way that happened. I would disagree. And I'll explain why here in a sec. But there's a lot of backlash that continues. So let us discuss. Now, the question, did the Rams make a mistake by putting up guardrails to keep the 49er fans away? My answer is probably going to surprise you, but I'm nodding my head yes. I am nodding my head yes. This was a miscalculation by the Rams. Now, I've got human nature, station wagon, and Boy Scouts, and we will connect all of this together, and that will be the foundation for this Maller monologue wrapping the nation. All right, so first of all, listen. Obviously, if you listen to the show, you know that I have a love affair with the Rams. That being said, whoever was involved in the front office really botched this. Like, this is the curveball that didn't break right. It was a panic move by some PR hacks with the Rams. And I get it. Matthew Stafford's wife complained. It's not fair, right? A few other people around the team. But the way I look at this, you look like a bunch of amateurs. And really just a PR miscalculation. I'll tell you why. Failing to grasp basic human nature. That was the big Ram mistake here. When you ban something, I learned this when I was a kid. When you ban something, you make that, whatever that thing is, more powerful. Right? When you ban something, when you make something taboo in a polite society, it has unintended consequences. And now that becomes a status symbol for the 49er fan to snatch up those tickets. And so even some people that were on the fence, like, well, maybe I won't go to the game. I'm in Northern California. I got to drive down to L.A. There's all the crime and all the scumbags that live. I don't want to go there. Come on. And I'm not going to put up with that. No. But now they're like, okay, I'll buy the tickets. I want the tickets because it's a status symbol. And it's also creating inflation for the, in air quotes, experience of attending a big playoff game. You better have deep pockets. The ticket to the 49er Ram game is much more expensive on the secondary market than the Bengals and the Chiefs. So if you're planning on going to the NFC title game, now what is my evidence? I was perusing the secondary market because I have no life, and the nosebleed seats. The cheapest ticket to get in and sit near the pearly gates, those with fees, because remember, when you buy these tickets on the secondary market, you got to pay all the fees and all the taxes. So with fees and everything all included, to get into the stadium, it'll cost you $680 to sit near the roof. $680. Now, it's still early in the week. VIP seat close to the field where you can smell the players' sweat and farting and all that, that'll set you back $4,000. Minimum $4,000. Some tickets even more than that. It is pure madness. It is pure madness. Now, it's hard to blame a Ram fan who can make the kind of windfall by selling a few tickets. And that's why, you know, as people say, well, there's no way that the season ticket holders of the Rams bought all the tickets. I say bull crap. I mean, these people, the Rams are like, all right, we don't want to sell directly to the 49er fans, so we'll sell to our season ticket holders and let them rape the 49er fans and get all the money out of the Niner fans and bleed the Niner fans' money and sell their tickets that way. Now, secondly, why are we at this point? There are many mitigating factors to consider when talking about the dynamic of the 49er fans multiplying like rabbits, right, taking over SoFi Stadium. The Rams have the most culpability in this. And if they want to know why we're in this situation here, they're the reason. They deserted Los Angeles, right? Way back, I don't even get a history lesson, but back in the 90s, 1994, they packed up the old station wagon and skedaddled out of SoCal, out of Anaheim, out of Orange County, and they headed to Missouri. Right? They went the opposite. Right? Everyone usually heads west. They headed the other direction where they played until the end of the 2015 season. That's 21 seasons, if my Maller math is correct, hiding out under the Gateway Arch, eating the wonderful toasted ravioli there, the frozen custard, all the butter cake thing that they have in St. Louis, all of those foods. Right? We're talking about an entire generation of sports fans who grew up without the Rams in SoCal because they left. They hightailed it out of town. So they either, the people in that generation, the ones that are, that particular sweet spot generation, they either ignored the NFL altogether or they gravitated to some other random teams like the 49ers, for example. And the Rams have been back in Los Angeles now for 6 years. And hard to believe it's been that long. But as the crow flies, based on the way generations work, now, some people say a generation is actually 30 years. I think it's about 20 years. But either way, minimum 14 years to get to another generational mark where you've been back in L.A. for a generation. So good luck. And you also have a bunch of expats from the Bay Area who transplanted to L.A. because they like the weather better, or their job took them there, or they just enjoy the vagrants in SoCal as opposed to the vagrants in Northern California. All right, now, final thought. So, listen, again, just to be clear, I have no problem with the 49er fans taking over SoFi Stadium. Buy all the tickets. Make it a sea of red. You know why? Because I'm a Dodger fan also. The Dodgers have had so many hostile takeovers of Oracle Park in San Francisco there, and just about every other stadium over the years, so I can't be hypocritical. I love when I turn on a Dodger game and they're in New York or Atlanta, and it's all Dodger fans. But there's other components to this, right? Will San Francisco fans cheering actually impact the outcome of the game? And absolutely not. That's why I don't care. Buy all the tickets. Buy them all. Make it a 49er home game. I don't give a crap. Right? The 49er backers, you can go out there, you can scream, shout, jump up and down. It's not going to impact the outcome of the game. Make as much noise. I want you to leave that stadium having laryngitis, right? Attempt to drown out the play calls, the audibles, the snap counts, all of that. Spoiler alert, it's not going to work. Right? The Rams were caught with their pants down last time they played the Niners. That's not going to happen again. Forewarned is forearmed. And follow the Boy Scout motto. I was a Boy Scout, not a good one. I was a better Cub Scout than a Boy Scout. But follow the Boy Scout's motto. Be prepared. And Sean McVay will make the necessary adjustments for a rowdy atmosphere. The 49ers, now listen, we don't know. I think the Rams will win, but maybe the Niners win. But it will not be because of the crowd noise. It will not be because of the crowd noise. Now, that being said, and I don't, it's not going to impact the outcome of the game, but I will guarantee you that if the score goes the way it's not supposed to go and the Rams lose the game, that Matthew Stafford's wife and several others will say, oh, there you go. That's the reason. That'll be the fall guy. That'll be the default excuse. Well, it was the crowd noise. And by the way, we had mentioned the Niners roster is pretty beaten up. And we have some new info on that as far as the game. The left tackle, Trent Williams, sprained his ankle against the Packers. And some say he's going to play. Others say his status is uncertain for the game in L.A. And the 49ers are attempting to downplay Deebo Samuel, who was also spotted hopping on one leg off the field, withering in pain in Green Bay. So we'll see how that goes as well. But that is the story there in the Rams and the 49ers. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. As we begin the journey here, we'd love to have you a part of this. If you'd like to be part, you can give us a buzz right now. Operators are standing by. We got to spin the wheel of producers, Roberto. Do we have the wheel of producers ready to go? Because all this week, we will have a different producer. Well, kind of. All right, round and round, the wheel of producers goes on the Ben Maller Show. And big money, no whammy, and stop. Oh, it's Ricky. It's listener Ricky. Well, he's kind of a listener because he's on Facebook just at Ricky.
That's right.
Did anyone find you on Facebook at Ricky on Facebook?
I had one friend request.
You got one. So there's one person that tracked you down.
Yep.
All right. Now it's Mazel Tov. That's outstanding. Now somebody sent me an email saying that I should be careful because you're a Niner fan. You're not a Niner fan, are you? Is that fake news? You're not a Niner fan, are you?
Oh, total fake news.
Okay, good. You don't even like football.
He's a cowgirl.
Right? Oh, you're a Cowboy fan?
Yeah, I keep that to myself around here, Ben.
Oh man, you're a Cowboy fan. That's disappointing. You're a Cowboy fan.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Complain. It never ends. The hemming and the hawing. Welcome in the beginning of another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are side by side in the air everywhere as we work. As the front man, see, we're on the microphones, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond, on the vast and astronomically powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the drums, as in inside your eardrums, providing marginal sports talk radio all night long. The Fox Sports Radio studios at a secret location somewhere in the Northwoods. Hope all is well with your lead. This hour comes from the NFL. The fallout continues from the heartland, the end. And what an ending it was. Some say the most magnificent division playoff game ever. Kansas City and Buffalo. The game continues to have legs, continues to be a talker. And the big shots in the media, the pretty boys on television, are dissecting the outcome of the game still. It's been going on for the last 24 hours plus now. The Grim Reaper, Patrick Mahomes, Patty Mahomes, Mahomie, 44-yard drive in 13 seconds. 44-yard drive in 13 seconds, game-tying field goal, and then the game-winning drive in overtime. And that is where the consternation has kicked in. That's where people are freaking out, losing their lunch. the "It's not fair" crowd. They are demanding change. It's not right. My team didn't win. I wanted my guy, Josh Allen, to touch the ball. He didn't get to touch the ball. What's wrong with you? Right? All right, so enter Andy Reid. Remember him? The jolly old coach there in Kansas City. So Andy Reid is going to go down as one of the top five greatest coaches in NFL history. That's mind-blowing, but it's true. So Andy Reid added some jet fuel to the moaning Buffalo fan. So I don't know if you heard this or not, maybe not. So we have the audio. Andy Reid announced that he is not opposed to changing the overtime rules.
I had a chance to talk with Sean afterwards, and you know, that's, I'm sure, something that they're going to look at again too. And I wouldn't be opposed to it. I just, that's a hard thing. I mean, one team, it was great for us last night, but is it great for the game, which is the most important thing that we should all be looking out for?
I'm nodding my head. Yes. Here's more from Andy Reid. Quick Andy Reid here talking about what he is looking for, what the NFL is looking for with overtime.
To make things equal, it probably needs to be able to hit both offenses, both defenses. So,
all right. So he says probably, that's a weasel word. Probably means, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but probably needs to be able to hit both offenses and defenses. So those comments by Andy Reid made their way through the echo chamber of sports conversation. Here we are kicking this around. So let us discuss the question. Are you going to go thumbs up or thumbs down with Andy Reid saying the NFL needs to make the overtime rules equal? So I'm going thumbs down on this. I think it's ridiculous. I've got Napa Valley, Geneva Convention, and Hooked on Phonics. And we're going to combine all of these things together, and that will be the foundation of this Maller monologue. We'll lock all these things together like Lego. So number one. There are many people who are in the media, my colleagues, if you will, running around screaming, "It's unfair! Boo-hoo-hoo! It's unfair! A coin decided the outcome of that NFL game! How can we have any integrity in the NFL? It was a coin!" You know what I say to these people? I say, what a bunch of idiots. I roll my eyes at the people like that. This hissy fit has been amusing. I am doubling down. Benny, double down on my position here. The NFL should not change the overtime rules, and I'll tell you why. It's going to blow your mind. It is fair as it is right now. Oh, that's such an unpopular opinion. Because that's the way it is, right? This is a level playing field. And just because your favorite quarterback didn't get his hands on the football in overtime doesn't mean it wasn't fair. Both teams, both the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs, knew the rules before the contest started. They played by those rules. There was no bait and switch here. You win the coin toss. If you choose to get the ball, you go down, score a touchdown, the game is over. So the other team, based on simple common sense, needs to make a defensive stop. If you don't and your opponent scores even a field goal, you lose the game. And the people screaming the loudest, "Change! It's not fair!" It's a laughingstock, these people, right? Now, the other example that some people have brought up is that, you know, this has happened multiple times. It happened to Patrick Mahomes a few years ago. And so we have proof that it's not fair, and I disagree. This is a case of the zeitgeist of 2022 taking over. Really the last several years here. I'm unhappy with the outcome of something, so I'm going to lash out. Woe is me. Go visit Napa Valley, right? I would like to see if you want any cheese, because you're whining a lot. I think cheese, I'm not a wine drinker, but I'm told that cheese goes very well with the wine. Wallowing in victimhood because Josh Allen didn't get his hands on the football. Now, secondly, this has been specifically alarming for the Bills Mafia. Now, I have some listeners to this show. We have some P1s that I'm sure we have a lot of listeners in Buffalo. We have a fair amount that contribute content to the show. And my relationship with the Bills Mafia, this is a fun-loving group of beer-guzzling, table-smashing enthusiasts. And if you're in the Bills Mafia and you're one of these people calling sports radio and posting crap online saying, it's not fair, we need to change, do better, be better. All right, we call it like it is here, and speaking the gospel, what Patrick Mahomes did was take your balls off. Patrick Mahomes took the balls off the Bills Mafia. So let me ask you this. Now, who had, just for S and giggles, who had the number one total defense in the NFL in 2021? Ding, 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 ding. Correct. The Buffalo Bills. So you're telling me, having the top defense in football, it's unfair that that defense could not do their job? They were tops in the league all year, and they couldn't hold the Chiefs to at least a field goal? Oh, but they were gassed. Blah, 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 blah. Listen, that argument is blasphemy. It's not some kind of violation of both the Geneva Convention's decree against cruel and unusual punishment. Let's just forget the Buffalo defense played like they had constipation throughout that particular game. That was a poop fest. And so, well, they were tired at the end of the game. Okay, well, what about the beginning of the game? And what about the middle part of the game? And it was equally bad for Kansas City. They at least had the excuse the Honey Badger was out, but the Bills had prided themselves on that top-notch defense. And that unit proved to be as phony as a $3 bill. They were a counterfeit defense, completely bogus. The Chiefs had 552 yards of offense and 30 first downs against the number one defense in the NFL, which, again, as we said, a complete fraud and exposed as a fraud in the playoffs. Now, final point. So the change the rule crowd has been tossing out all kinds of statistical propaganda. It's like hooked on phonics. And some of the numbers, if you include the regular season and the playoffs, they say that the number is 21%, 21.5% of the games in overtime are decided on the first possession. Now, some people believe that that proves the system is broken. And then, but wait, there's more. The hooked on phonics crowd says, wait a minute here, now the number in the playoffs, since they went to the current rules, is over 90%, that there have been 11 overtime playoff games, okay, in the current format, and the team that won the coin toss has a 10-1 record in those games. Only the great Ram team in 2018, who stuffed it down Drew Brees' throat there, lost the coin toss and won the game, and if you remember, It wasn't because of a controversial call. The Rams picked off Drew Brees in overtime. The Saints were matriculating the ball down the field. It was about midfield. Drew Brees got picked off in that game. And supposedly the Rams defense was gassed. I also remember, I think it was the Seattle defense against Green Bay, if I remember correctly, in the early 2000s, won a playoff game where their defense was supposedly gassed and they picked off a pass, if I remember correctly. But 7 of the 10 teams that scored the sudden death touchdown, it happened on the opening drive. 3 other times it went back and forth. So I've seen the math, and this is known as the small sample size argument. And if you malfunction on defense in a sudden death situation, by meaning you give up a touchdown, you lose the game, that's what happens. So I have a simple solution. I'm an answers guy. I have a simple solution for everyone pounding the table saying we must have both teams have the opportunity to touch the ball no matter what. My solution is play better defense, and then you'll get to touch the ball. That's the way the cookie crumbles. That's the way the cookie crumbles. It's a teachable moment. If you improve on defense, I don't know how you improve on the number one defense in the NFL, but if you can't get the job done, you don't deserve to win the game. I love how everyone's just like pretending that it's only offense and defense is not part of the game. That it's, We've now turned the NFL into the Harlem Globetrotters, where the defense is the Washington Generals. And the Harlem Globetrotters, everyone's there to see them, and the Washington Generals are just out there to make the Globetrotters look good. And there's many people that believe that. They're called idiots, and they're running around screaming this nonsense. And it's really ridiculous when you think about it, that you've completely eliminated defense. That it's, as long as both my favorite sexy quarterbacks get to touch the ball, that's all I care about. And it's just embarrassing. What is going on here with this nonsense? It's ridiculous. All right, well, this is not ridiculous. It is the Ben Maller Show. That's the show you've tuned into. Just a little radio show in the middle of the night. And it is a call-in show. If you'd like to take some time out, be part of the show, you can call in right now. Operators are standing by at 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. You can be part of the program. You can give us real-time feedback. If you're on the microblogging website Twitter, you can send in a message, tag me in your message, follow me on Twitter, and I may read your comments on there. No guarantee. And we do send out some videos from random Maller monologues of the past. So if you miss part of the show, you might see a little clip, 5 or 6 minutes usually, of a Maller monologue. You can check that out.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Giving the TB12 system a try. Welcome in the beginning of another hour of the Ben Maller Show. Here we are together again in the air everywhere as we avoid being a box office bomb coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the enormously vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the ache. You give us 10 minutes, we'll give you a headache. Actually, I've had a headache all day. The Fox Sports Radio Studios, a secret location somewhere in the Northwoods. So our lead this hour comes from Tampa Bay, Brady Bay, however you want to call it. Fresh off a season-ending defeat, kaput, against the Rams in the divisional round. Now the world is on the edge of their seat. The sporting world, we're all gluttons for punishment. What's going on with Tom Brady? Everyone's obsessed with this guy. What's going to happen with Tom Brady? Well, Brady has spoken yet again about his future. He talked about a number of things. Brady, a chatterbox with his confidant, his best bud, Jim Gray, on the podcast they do every week, which, by the way, is available. I didn't know this, but is available on the iHeart radio app. Anyway, shameless plug. So if you didn't hear the latest from Tom Brady, maybe not. We've got a lot of audio. We're going to play some of it now, and then we'll see how this goes here. So Brady was asked about the difference between, you know, wins and losses, and all that stuff. But he said that he loves being in the arena. And just to prove I'm not lying, here is Brady saying that he enjoys being in the arena.
You saw with these four games is there's a lot of people that still love watching football because there's so much unpredictability to what's going on in these games. And they're really a joy to be a part of. I really enjoy that. And even though I said the other week, you know, I'd rather play and lose than not play at all, you know. And, you know, as much as a losing hurts, it's much more enjoyable for me to be in the arena than not in the arena.
There you go. Man in the arena. That's the big thing he always brings up. Man in the arena. All right. But wait, there's more. Tom Brady pointing out that now that the season is over, he is going to step away and decompress.
Well, I think the point is there's no really rush for me to figure out what's next. You know, I'll know when I know. And it's a day after the season. So I think for all of us, you know, we can all decompress a bit. It's been 6 straight months of football every day consumed by, you know, day in and day out football. And I think now it's just some time to spend some time with my family and spend some time with, you know, my kids. And
hello.
Yeah, there's that was the voice of one of Brady's kids who was entered in there at the end. All right, now we're getting to the good stuff. Oh, this is going to be the good stuff. So then we move on here, and this is again from the Brady, the Fugazi podcast thing that Brady does with Jim Gray. So here is Brady playing the kid card. You heard one of his kids interrupt at the very end of his answer there, but here's Brady playing the kid card from the bottom of the deck about his future.
As I've gotten older, I think the best part is football is extremely important in my life, and it means a lot to me, and I care a lot about what we're trying to accomplish as a team, and I care a lot about my teammates. And the biggest difference now that I'm older is I have kids now too, you know, and I care about them a lot as well. And, you know, they've been my biggest supporters. My wife is my biggest supporter. You know, it pains her to see me get hit out there. And, you know, she deserves what she needs from me as a husband. My kids deserve what they need from me as a dad. And, you know, I'm going to spend some time with them and give them what they need, because they've really been giving me what I need the last 6 months to do what I love to do. And, you know, I said this a few years ago, it's what relationships are all about. It's not always what I want. It's what we want as a family. And, you know, I'm going to spend a lot of time with them and, you know, figure out in the future what's next.
All right. See, that last part, is that a giveaway? We're going to get into it in a minute. But there's one more sound we're going to play right now. We'll save another one for later. But Tom Brady here, again, this is all from his podcast, his latest interview. He said, you know, he's asked, what goes in to the decision whether to play another year, whether to bless us with more Tom Brady 24/7 coverage in the year 2022? Here is Brady on what goes into deciding.
Every year I just have to make sure that I'm have the ability to commit to what the team really needs. And that's really important to me. The team doesn't deserve anything less than my best. And if I feel like I'm not committed to that, or I can't play at a championship level, then you got to give someone else a chance to play. And, you know, we'll see. You know, again, there's a long time between now and the start of next football season. And, you know, I've got to really figure those things out, which is probably natural for anyone.
Yeah. All right. Well, good luck on that. So there you go, Brady. Say, oh, a lot of time, blah, blah, blah. All right. So let us discuss the question. Hey, listen, we are here to parse the words of these people in sports. So what did we read in? What did we read into Tom Brady's statements? We played pretty much all the good stuff about his future. So I've got Loaf of Bread, Justin Timberlake, and Moscow. And we will put all of these things together, and we are going to make a delicious Maller pizza with the garlic, the bell pepper, the onion. Oh, my God. Just tremendous. All right. So to kick off the festivities here, Tom Brady pretty much confirmed what we had said in a previous episode of the show. So that makes us feel good, because it validates that we were correct, that this thing is going to drag through an extended period of the offseason. He's going to crutz ois, as they say in Yiddish, with this. And Brady spoke for about 30 minutes with Jim Gray. Most of it was commercials. And nothing was resolved. Now, we didn't expect anything to be resolved, but Brady was intentionally vague and ambiguous throughout this. My head was spinning as I listened to this conversation, and he was buttering his loaf of bread on both sides. You know, I don't think you're supposed to do that, but he took out the bread, he buttered it on both sides. He was sending mixed messages, is what I'm trying to say. Because on one hand, we played the sound. Brady loves being the man in the arena. He still loves the competition. He's still good at it. But he also said he could walk away, you know, proud and satisfied in one part of this interview. Even after Tampa was humiliated, they were outclassed by the Rams for the majority of that game. It was only the Rams' generosity that even allowed Tampa to have a shot to tie the game. And without that, the Bucs would have been completely done. Now, furthermore, let's address the family stuff. Okay, let's address the family stuff. So this has been an ongoing storyline back to Tom Brady's days with the Patriots. You might remember one year Brady was a no-show. He was persona non grata at the offseason work for the Patriots. And this was a big story in the Boston media, and they were trying to figure things out. They're like, well, this is a sign he's not going to come back. And Giselle was pulling him away from the Patriots. Well, it turns out he came back and played well, not great, but well. But this part of it is puzzling to me, playing the family card. Because to me, if you could map your life on the way things would go. And I told you, you'd be in your 40s, you'd be really good at the job you have, a job which is normally for young people, people in their 20s, but you're good at it in your mid-40s. You're making a ton of money, and the quality of life, it's amazing. You know, you talk about work, and it is a job to be a professional football player, but it's also kind of like being a science teacher, except it's better than that. You get paid a lot of money. People rhapsodize and praise you and put you on a pedestal when you're a pro football player, but you get a lot of time off. That's how you're like a science teacher. Forget summers off. Your teachers get a couple months off. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers started their break for the offseason on January 24th, so yesterday. Today's the 25th. By the way, happy birthday to my brother. He's not listening, but it's his, I got to call him today. I got to remember to call my brother. It's his birthday today. Anyway, so today's the 25th. Yesterday was the 24th. And so that means, you know how many days off the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to have before they report to training camp? They report to training camp July 25th, roughly. That's what the one they reported last year. That means the Bucs will have 182 days off. 182 days off of rest and relaxation. Essentially, 6 months of R&R. It's kind of like that old Justin Timberlake song, Cry Me a River, right? For Tom Brady and all these guys. What an amazing life, all right? The big pain is that Tom Brady has to decide whether he wants to go to Brazil, the Bahamas, Hawaii. Where does he want to go for the next, you know, several months? And I understand, he's got to stay in shape, and that's obviously part of it. But in terms of the actual meat and potatoes of football, he's in the driver's seat. He's got all the answers to the test. He knows all the X's and O's. He knows the language of football. In fact, it's like that old college basketball quote. Tom Brady has forgotten more about football than any 10 people I know combined. Right? So anyway, TB12 has mastered that like the back of his hand. Now, the last thing. We mentioned that Tom Brady, as far as his interest in a farewell tour, we actually have some more sound we're going to play here, and I'm not going to jump over this, but here's what Tom Brady said when asked by Jim Gray if he wants one of these ass kiss tours where he goes around and they give him a piano in one city and they give him a set of drums in another because he beat our team like a bunch of drums. Anyway, here is Brady asked about the possible retirement tour.
I think that would be distracting for me. You know, I'm really ultimate. You know, my enjoyment comes from not a recognition of kind of what I've accomplished as a player in the league. My enjoyment comes from the competition.
Oh, it's all about the competition. Now, I found this comical, right? Brady says, you know, as you heard, it would be distracting for him. Says his enjoyment comes from the competition, not that kind of recognition. Now, I give this one some side eye because I believe Tom Brady is visiting Moscow to watch the Bolshoi Ballet is what he's doing here. This man has a side hustle, branded the TB12 system, where he sells all kinds of random gadgets and health-related products. He just started a clothing line. Tom Brady, man that is all about the competition and not the recognition, has been selling overpriced hoodies and shirts slapped with the name Brady across the chest, but he's not about that kind of recognition. Listen, Tom Brady would publicly say he doesn't want a retirement tour while privately relishing every single second, saying hallelujah, hallelujah on that retirement tour. That is my belief. He says, oh, no, I'm not like that. No, no, no. But I only will talk to you, Jim Gray. I will not talk to anyone else. You're my bestie.